My next guest is a gent I really enjoy speaking to. His name is Yigal Marcus. He's director at the Republicans Overseas. He's Israel-based, but he knows a lot about American politics, that is for sure. And we're going to be talking about the legacy of Lindsey Graham, the American senator who passed away on Saturday the 11th. Yigal, as always, thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM.
I love being here, so happy to do it.
So, Yigal, Lindsey, he wasn't just another Republican senator. From what I've read, he was one of the loudest, most reliable voices backing Israel, but over decades. From your point of view, as Republicans overseas, how big a hole does his sudden death leave in the party's pro-Israel leadership?
Yeah, so I knew Lindsey Graham personally, and the hole is gigantic. Lindsey Graham was Israel's best friend in the United States Senate and probably the entire United States Congress. There are a few others that are close, but nobody had the gravitas and the power that Lindsey Graham. When Lindsey Graham spoke, everyone listened. And he was able to build that kind of listening coalition because he respected everybody, including people he disagreed with. Mm. You know, when he was on the U.S. Senate Judicial Committee to confirm Supreme Court justices. You know, when the other presidents, the Democrat presidents, put forth candidates, he didn't just vote against them because they were the other candidate. He gave them the time and the focus, and he voted for them because he said, "Look, at the end of the day, they're qualified. The president has this right, and he did the right thing." And so, He's a dying breed in that he's a mensch. He was a mensch. He was extremely pro-Israel. He was, you know, every year the Republican Jewish Coalition would have our national conference without any exception. He was always there, encouraging us. He defended Israel fully in front of the U.S. And also in front of the world. He will be desperately missed. Way too young to die, and the void is just unimaginably large right now. So it's a very, very sad day for America. It's a very sad day for Jews and for its homeland, our homeland. And we're going to miss him terribly.
So from what I've read, it seems that he was also quite involved in building bipartisan support for Israel. Apparently, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but he even flew up to 10% of the U.S. Senate to Tel Aviv after October the 7th. You can corroborate that or not. It's interesting, isn't it? Because that's unimaginable today. I mean, you'd never get anybody managing to coalesce that kind of bipartisan support for Israel now.
That's correct. And he understood, you know, the need for bipartisan support for Israel, for long-term, you know, for long-term success and for long-term support. And he, you know, even though it's an easy topic for the Republicans to kind of rad and own, right, being pro-Israel, which is obviously not found much on the other side of the aisle, he understood that even though they could own it and really attract a lot of constituents and new voters to the Republican Party, he understood that that wasn't in the best interest of Israel. And he really put Israel first. He put America first also, but he put Israel first and said, you know, this can't just be a Republican issue that we support. We need to coalesce, as you mentioned, a bipartisan coalition in order to make sure that Israel has the support that it needs, not just now, but in the future, in a world that is becoming that much more radical and dangerous. And you don't find people like that anymore, right? You look around and you see people, they just want voters, and they're going to go where the voters are. And what he said was, no, we have to do what's right, and the voters will follow. And we just don't have that anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a very powerful statement right now, where you clearly see people playing to the anti-Israel lobby. It almost has become a membership, a card of entry to the Democratic Party at this moment in time. But apparently he's reported as having said that the Israeli officials tell him things that his own government doesn't or won't. Oh, that's a hell of a striking line, Yigal. It says a lot about the trust that the Israeli leadership had in him.
They trusted him. He was brotherly. You know, when I think of people like him, there are very few, but I think of a Mike Huckabee, right, that where their connection to Israel is not just on a practical level, but a deeply spiritual, emotional level. And he had that connection. And so we trusted him fully. He respected that trust. He protected what was told to him in confidence. And there's a reason why he was a recipient of those things. And the answer is because he was really one of us. And the sudden loss is just, it's really, really unimaginable. I don't know what our conferences are going to look like without Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, had the best sense of humor. He got up there and he just had a happiness about him. He loved life and he mattered. He really, really, really mattered. And just to put it in perspective, I just read an article today. He was one of the least wealthy, or I would actually say, least wealthy members of the entire Congress. So he wasn't doing it for wealth, for the speaking engagements or the book contracts. He devoted his life to others and to causes greater than self. And Israel happened to be on the top of the list of the things that he lived for. And it's so far and few between right now finding leaders like that, both in Israel and America, and really look around the world, very few people who are as selfless as that, willing to give up wealth in order to serve a higher purpose. And he did that, and he did that with distinction. And it's just painful.
A place that was not mourning him, or people in a place that was not mourning him, was the Iranians. Apparently, Iranian media have celebrated his death. They've circulated images of him with a target over his face. And I'm just wondering how that's going down in Republicans, amongst Republicans in the States. I guess that would reinforce his hawkish stance on Iran, I'm thinking.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's hard to not love Lindsey Graham, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. He's just a great guy. And so being this disgusting is something that people will remember. You know, it's not surprising, not surprising. I as you probably have been reading, today was another very busy day in the Middle East. Fighting is expanding now to Saudi Arabia and to others. We didn't need much, but I think that President Trump is finally understanding what we're dealing with. These are just, this is an evil enemy, and they do put targets on the heads of great American patriots, and he's not going to stand for that. President Trump's not going to stand for that, and the American people aren't going to stand for that, and we're going to remember this, and as American the Air Force and it continues to bomb the heck out of Iran, every night for the last week or so, we're going to remember that this is what Lindsey Graham supported here. He supported defeating evil, not negotiating with them. There was no room to negotiate with evil. He called it out, and he was, a virulent supporter of doing what's right, not just what's expedient.
100%.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah, he must have had real backbone because from what I've read, it appears that he backed Trump fiercely and yet disagreed with him fundamentally on Ukraine and Russia. And I'm just thinking that must have been a really rare ability to stay that loyal to Trump, but while breaking with him on foreign policy. I mean, that takes a specific kind of person to be able to do that.
And if you read how Trump's response to his death, I mean, he's devastated. President Trump is really, really sad, because even though they may not have agreed all the time on everything, he knew that Lindsey Graham was one of the few that really put country first, that wasn't in the business of politics to enrich himself and to benefit from it. And so his opinions had weight. And when he said something, President Trump may not have agreed, but he heard him, and he earned the right to be heard and to be considered. And it happens to be that even though there was a pause in the fighting and the resumption now, nevertheless, Lindsey Graham was there to give guidance and to give advice. He had the guts to say what had to be said, even though he knew the president may not be supportive of it. But he had the sense of humor to know that we don't have to agree with everything. And when you disagree with somebody, you don't have to hate them for it. And that's what's missing in American politics today. And frankly, it's missing in politics around the world, right? Today, we live in a world where if you disagree with somebody, they must be terrible. You have to hate them. You have to demagogue them. That's not the case with Lindsey Graham. He lived a different generation of politics. So refreshing. and the other side of it, it'll be sorely missed.
Final question for you this afternoon, Yigal. Who steps into the void?
It's hard. It's hard. Look, we do have a lot of other supporters in the Congress, Republican supporters, but also diminishing, but we do have some Democratic supporters. It's going to be very hard. We'll see who his replacement is going to be. The governor appoints a temporary person, and then there'll be elections in November. I don't know who that replacement is going to be right now. I wish I did, but this is so shockingly fresh that we don't know.
You're not there yet.
The good news is that his replacement will be a Republican, and the Republicans are mostly very, very, very supportive of Israel. So he'll be surrounded by pro-Israel people who will hopefully influence him and educate him or her. But we need to see, the jury's out. Let's see who they choose.
Yigal Marcus, as always, thank you so much for your time. We'll be speaking soon again, I am sure.